So are you planning for your retirement with the confidence that you're going to make all the right moves? Well, in today's episode, we're going to unveil some of the income planning mistakes that we often see people make that could jeopardize your retirement. And we're going to show you how to craft a financial plan that's built to last decades, not just a couple of years. These are the income planning mistakes you don't want to make. Back for another episode of The Pilot's Advisor. Ryan, it is great to be with you again, my friend. And you're in your new digs. Still under construction, but new digs nonetheless.
Finally in the new house. It's been a long time coming. It got so bad that everybody was asking when we were going to move in. And I finally just started saying Wednesday because I didn't know what month. I didn't know what year. But it was just easier than saying, no, we're still not in there. But we're moving in on Wednesday. But finally in here. We're finally sleeping here. Should be my last move ever after being in the military for 20 plus years.
Oh, that's a good feeling.
Yeah. Oh, like finally being able to settle. But yeah, it's gonna take a month or two to get totally settled in. Because I'll be honest with you, another thing that we did, since my wife was still on active duty and we were moving every one to two years, we just stopped buying anything that was nice. Because every time you move, it gets beat up, broken, what have you. So we just decided to save money and said, hey, we're not doing anything until we move into our final house. And so a lot of the stuff we're buying is new, which, kind of sucks spending all that money, but we're finally going to have nice things.
Yeah. And realize you didn't spend that money then for a couple of years. And that hopefully
that's the justification part of it that we're like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's still tough.
Yeah. Still a little bit painful. Felt the same way with our couple of recent moves. We lost a lot of items because we did two moves pretty short together, but we were smart in that 1 year that we were renting a home before moving into our current house. Same principle. We didn't hang anything on the walls, so we just lived in kind of a blank home for a year, didn't buy anything new that wasn't. We went to set hand-me-down furniture to outfit the rental place, and then when we got our new house is when we went through that same routine spending a little more than you wanted to, but made everything better. So, well, congrats on moving into the new house. And I know your background and your setup will morph and change as you get more settled in. But I see you prioritized making sure you got that the plane model and everything set up quickly.
Well, you got to have the airplane stuff back there, a little Air Force stuff from back in the day. I was actually just having a nice conversation here with Walter about how I can up my game and be like him, as he's the professional. Look at all the lighting back there. And he does have a cool hat on, though. Did you guys notice the hat he has on?
Yeah, I need to tilt a little further down so you can see it. Look at that.
Hey, baby.
Pilot's advisor swag. I don't have my cup. I think it's in the dishwasher at the moment, but normally got that on standby too.
You're finally moving up in the world, looking good.
That's right. I'm just happy to be able to wear a hat to work. This is fantastic. So
hey, I'm a big fan. I might be able to join in on you. I always have.
Hey, do it. Why not? Yeah. We should match.
I probably need a little bit of a haircut anyway, so this will work.
If only I could wear a hat for my beard occasionally, it might be a nice improvement. But in any event, we'll kicking the can down the road here and get started on our conversation, Ryan. So we're talking about income planning mistakes. I think the place to start here is not so much with the mistakes, but why are we specifically calling these income planning mistakes? Why are we centralizing the focus on those particular mistakes? What's the big deal about income planning for folks who are going to be watching the show?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of things about this. Like, all pilots know they have to save for retirement. They know that, but they don't understand how the income phase or the distribution phase of retirement works. And the reason why we have to focus on that stage is because once you get there, if you didn't plan properly, it's too late. You're no longer working. So the little tiny details, when we're planning out what your retirement's going to look like, you can't make mistakes, and you got to think about all these things. And we're going to go through some of them and talk about them. But it's kind of like, you don't want to jump into that pool unless you know there's water in there.
Yeah.
And we like to think about how any one of these can cause your retirement picture to not look good. So we don't want to have a leak in that pool.
Well, let's jump in here on the Pilot's Advisor. And so number one, Ryan, on our list, we've got at least five tips here. So at least five income planning mistakes we want people to avoid.
You told me there's only
going
to be two.
Oh, well, surprise. Welcome to the new house. You get to do some bonus ones today.
We'll figure it out.
I don't think it'll be a big curveball for you to handle here. First one is, don't plan to be retired for a couple of years. I mentioned this in the teaser of the show. Plan to be retired for decades. If people aren't using that as their time horizon, big issue, right?
Well, absolutely. And there's a stigma in the airline industry that, you're flying at night or you're flying airplanes up at altitude that you know, the track record is pilots don't live that long, but you don't plan to not live that long. I mean, you know, we definitely can look at data and know that most of the time, the male spouse normally passes prior to the female spouse, that, you know, women live longer. But you don't want to say, oh, you know, I'm going to only live for 10 years, so let's live it up, because the last thing you want to do is run out of money. Now, when we do an income plan for our pilots, you want to plan out for 25 to 30 years and make sure that you're not going to run out of money. The other side of it, with technology and how much advancement there has been in the medical field, people are living longer and longer. So we don't really even know how long we're going to live, because we don't really have that data of people today. I mean, we know what the life expectancy is, but you want to plan for the worst case scenario.
Yeah, it's a great point.
And by so, worst case, I mean you live long.
Yeah, it's a good worst case scenario in an odd way, right? It's a good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless that we need to solve and think about. So
I heard a good joke the other day, and I got to share it, because, you know, I'm very much about, with my clients and the air, you know, people in the airline industry, offending people. So let's roll with this.
Okay.
So the joke was, you know, how men die before women. Okay.
Right.
And we all know that to be a fact, but a guy told me the other day, he goes, well, you know why men die before women? I was like, no, why do you say that? And he goes, because they want to.
Oh, no.
It's like, I thought it was kind of funny.
That's terrible. That's pilot humor, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. It's like, I'm done with this.
Very good. Well, yeah, time horizon, make sure you're planning with the right mindset. That's our place to start for sure. And you're making a huge mistake if you aren't ready to handle that. All right. So let's talk about number two mistake here, Ryan, on income planning, is to starting Social Security too early. If you do that, big mistake. Doesn't mean you can't start it early, but don't just assume that you can do that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Social Security is needing to understand that once you make that decision, you can't go back and fix it. I think the whole Social Security analysis has drastically changed in the past few years. And I think a lot of that is based off of government spending and where we're going. It used to be a simple calculation. Hey, when are you going to die? You make an assumption there based off of your health or your family background. And then we could kind of tell you, hey, you should probably wait till this age and then pull Social Security. And it's funny, because I feel like a lot of pilots in the airline industry right now, they talk about retiring at 60, but they normally don't. They normally go to 65. And then most of them are pulling it right away. And I think the justification right now is simply that get it while you can. I mean, most pilots have done a very good job of saving. They've had good 401ks. And I think the consensus is, whether you need it or not, it's going to allow you to not pull as much money from your 401k for income, and also get it while you can, because I think most people think it's going to be means tested or at a minimum reduced. I don't think Social Security is going to go away, but it's definitely going to be reduced. The math just doesn't add up for how many people are retiring and less people paying into Social Security.
I could see that same problem as the first equation, right? The being retired for decades and not just years kind of plays into this too. If people think they're not going to live a very long time and not going to be retired for all that long, then yeah, you want to start. I mean, that would be common sense. You want to start Social Security if you don't think you're going to live for very long. So I can understand why people make that mistake.
Yeah, well, and you think about it too, you paid into it your whole life. And then if you do pass early and you never withdraw any of it, you know, and of course, the rules change whether you have a spouse and all that stuff. But what a horrible thing. And then another advancement of thought is, we assume when somebody starts pulling Social Security, they're using it for income. But let's say you don't really need it, but you can pull the Social Security, now invest it, and get what you've opened up the door is a longer time horizon to let that money grow as well.
Hey, real quick break from the podcast. We want to talk to you about the Retirement Toolkit. If you have not gotten your copy yet of the toolkit, listen up closely, because Ryan is going to give us the details of what's in the toolkit. You even have one on hand, Ryan, that we can show people, and some of the things that are inside of it, and what kind of information can people learn?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to retirepilots.com, you can get a free retirement toolkit, and we'll actually give you a free analysis of your portfolio so you can really see what's going on. But as you can see, we got some air mail here.
Nice.
That's what the toolkit looks like. Some of the things that are in there. There's a couple tax planning strategies with Zach Smith at Pilot Tax. We look at long-term records, where we've got a 21-year track record of outperforming the S&P 500, GIPS certified. We can show you that. And of course I write these with big crayons, big fat crayons for pilots. I mean, there's some Marines and Army aviators out there, but I got a couple books I've written that you're going to get to talk about retirement planning, how you should plan for your retirement, talking about taxes and tax planning, nice. Some other goodies, advice matters, how to let an advisor help you out, some of the data behind how much more you will have in retirement if you hire a professional. What we try to do is to try to get pilots not to speculate and gamble with their money. And what I want to give you all the tools you need to not do that. Look at the data. It's completely free. We're here to help you out.
Very cool. So this is a free toolkit that you're going to get. And I don't want to gloss over that fact that you mentioned at the beginning. It also comes with a free portfolio analysis that you'll do after people get the toolkit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have no interest in doing anything else and you just want the free materials, I'll put your name right here. We'll send it out to you. But yes, you do get a free portfolio analysis. I think most of the people, after they see the content that's in there and read the book, they want to talk to us, and we can analyze your portfolio, see if we can add any value. The numbers don't lie. I mean, we're going to find out if we can add value, and we'll get on a Zoom call with you. We'll go through it. We'll teach you. We'll show you the numbers. And I like to call that the IQ test. At some point, the numbers don't lie, and you look at it and go, hey, if we can help you out, you know, and do something better, if there's a better way, well, let's help you implement that strategy.
Very good. So no obligation to work together, but you definitely get the free toolkit, great resource information. And then if you want to take next steps for that portfolio analysis, you get that as well. So a lot of great freebies there, Ryan. We appreciate you offering those to folks in the first place. I know a lot of people throughout the existence of this show have ordered them over the years, but we've still got a good chunk of folks that probably are new to the show or haven't gotten their copy of the Retirement Toolkit. So be sure to get yours. Again, the way to get it is to go to retirepilots.com. That's retirepilots.com. And right there on the homepage, you're going to see an opportunity to get that toolkit. We'll also link to it directly in the description of today's episode. So look for it there as well. All right. Number three, don't assume that bonds are going to be your main source of retirement income. That's kind of adapting that old line of thinking that you're going to move out of stocks and into bonds, Ryan.
Well, I think 2022 changed the whole dynamic when we started looking at fixed income or bonds and how it's going to fit into your portfolio. And I'm not going to say I've done a total pivot, but I try to teach my clients, how can we have, if we really want to lower the risk in a portfolio, you know, and we want to lower that standard deviation, we want to make sure that fixed income portion of that portfolio is somewhat guaranteed, that it's not going to lose value. And what happened in 2022 was, you know, of course, it was the worst inflation we've seen in 40 years, but a lot of conservative investors that had a lot of bonds in their portfolio, as interest rates went up, you know, very steep, bond prices just tanked. So if you were in a lot of more conservative investments like bonds, you almost got out worse off than if you were in equities. And I think what it did is it really showed us how bad it could be, even if you were a conservative investor. And let's take, for example, if you use some sort of an insurance product or other guarantee mechanism that's out there to where you knew that fixed income portion of your portfolio would never lose value. Okay. It's going to drastically reduce your standard deviation. And, you know, if you're in a normal 60-40 model, you could use that guaranteed income in a down market and not have to pull off your portfolio that was, you know, lower at that time. So it gives you some sequence of returns, risk protection. And I have some great videos on this that I'd love to share with any clients that are interested. Feel free to email me and I'll send it off to you.
Perfect. We'll put Ryan's email in the description of today's show, but you can also reach him, ryan@pilotsadvisor.com. If you've got questions or want to check out that video, ryan@pilotsadvisor.com. Get some good information on retirepilots.com, further than what we talk about here on the show, even. All sorts of great reports and things to know about there. retirepilots.com, your place to go for that. Speaking of things that attitudes have changed on, or perhaps at least awareness has maybe raised a little bit here, Ryan, don't ignore inflation. That would be a big mistake to make in your income plan if you didn't account for inflation.
Well, absolutely. And no different than the conversation that we just talked about, 2022 put inflation back in front of us.
It'd been gone for a while in terms of being on people's radars. Yeah.
The crazy part is when we still plan long-term inflation rates, we look at about 3%. Okay. And what had happened is it had been tracking below 3% for so long, which was a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then the inflation was so bad, And we watched how much that could affect how we could buy goods and services, you know, to live day-to-day life with.
Still feeling it in many ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. And especially lower income
families.
Hard
to recalibrate that way than it is, you know, the other direction.
And the wild part about it, though, for long-term planning, the prediction is we're still going to use 3%. So we were falling below that 3% for so long, and there was that buffer. But when they look at long-term inflation numbers, we're still talking about 3%. And what I would say about that is, anytime I do an income plan for someone, be conservative. And what I mean by that is, let's bump up that those inflation numbers a little bit higher than what they probably are going to be. Or if we look at the return on your investments, let's drop those down a little bit more than what we actually think we're going to be. And that way, we're looking a lot more at a worst case scenario. The whole purpose of doing like a Monte Carlo simulation is to see all those different scenarios. But I think it's a good exercise to be conservative and give an income plan that's going to work even if the market doesn't perform like we thought it might.
I imagine there is maybe some airplane analogy you could make here, Ryan, where when they're building planes, they want to stress test different components of those planes. It's really more so not how can we make this part succeed. It's not how can we make this plan succeed. It's how can we make it fail? What are the things we can do to it to cause failure? And then can we fix those failure points to make it even stronger?
Well, absolutely. Or a way I think about it is, hey, if we're flight planning from DC to LA, you don't want the min fuel required. You want to have a lot of extra gas, right?
Right.
And so let's get that extra gas, that extra required fuel, and have those reserves, because we don't know what's going to happen out there. There might be big thunderstorm. We might lose an engine. There might be something that happens to our airplane. So no different than having multiple systems in case one fails. All pilots like gas. And so when you're looking at your income plan, let's plan for the worst case scenario and make sure we have some extra reserves there in case inflation spikes up, healthcare costs continue to do what they do, or, you know, life happens. And unfortunately, Walter, I get those calls when life happens.
Yeah, you do. It doesn't take a non-pilot to figure out that extra gas gives you options, and you kind of want the same thing in the financial plan, right? We want options, we want flexibility, we want directions we can head in. So that's helpful. All right, last one for you, Ryan, and then I'll give you the chance to chime in with any additional you might want to throw in here at the end. But formally, our fifth and final income planning mistake is if you forget to create lifetime income streams other than Social Security. So we've got to go out and create our own streams. Otherwise, again, we're setting ourselves up for a frustrating retirement.
Well, for sure. And that's why it's so much easier to plan for someone if they have a pension, you know, pension plus Social Security or PBGC or whatever it might be, where you have a baseline and you're pulling less income out of any assets that you have saved. Unfortunately, this is becoming a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, more and more individuals are being forced to save money, and they have to create their income from whatever they have saved, and they don't have that fixed portion or that baseline to work from. And I can tell you right now, there's so many more variables. It's a lot harder to plan. So any type of passive income that you can create over time is only going to benefit you. And not necessarily in the airline industry, although this does happen. But if you look at the statistics, more and more people are retiring and then still getting a part-time job or doing something, whether it's, you know, being an Uber driver or going to greet at the Walmart or the Home Depot just to get that extra spending cash.
Yeah. And if we can plan for that instead of you having to go pick up a part-time job to accomplish that, that's a much better situation to be in. What's the most income streams you've ever had set up for a client off the top of your head? Like if you combined pensions, Social Security, maybe if they had an annuity or dividend, or I don't know, is that a thing you can measure or comes to mind?
You know, there's every client's a little bit different, but I've had people that have had PBGC from an old pension. Then they ended up getting a pension from the airline. They had a pension from the military. They had some rental income from some houses that they owned, and they still did a part-time job on the side. And the reality was that I don't think they're going to spend any of their money because they could still live off of what was coming in. Unfortunately, that's not the norm. You know, the norm is, I mean, most pilots, if they don't make a lot of mistakes and we get a hold of them and have time prior to retirement, they're going to have more tax problems in retirement than income, you know, money problems. But yeah, there's some cases where, you know, people are type A personalities and they want to work till the day they die. And it makes, that's when there's a bigger shift for legacy planning is what I look at. Like, hey, okay, you're not going to spend this money. What can we do with it now to pass it on to the next generation? Or, hey, let's plan some vacations.
Right. Yeah. We'll go all out. We'll travel around the world, but without you having to work. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Any other income planning mistakes you think would be wise to bring up, or did we cover most of the bases today?
I think a couple things I'd bring up is just making sure you're constantly adjusting your plan. No different than if you're flying across the country, you want to update and have a fuel log to see how you're going. Big changes in the market, big changes in inflation, or medical issues within a family. It's time to reattack that plan and see where we're sitting.
Yeah, even if you're on autopilot, right, Ryan, you're going to come back and you're still going to monitor your progress and make sure you're getting to where you need to be.
Absolutely. And just think of the big things that happen in life. I mean, healthcare costs, that's a big deal. So medical issues that happen. Tax laws that change. I think we're coming up on an election right now that could have some major impact on how we're taxed, and we might not have the standard deduction going forward. So regardless of how healthy your retirement picture looks, things that happen day to day, whether it's in politics, laws, health, we're going to have to adjust that plan and look at it, look at your safe withdrawal rate and make some adjustments. No different than monitoring the airplane and our fuel state and all those things.
All good points. Well, there you have it. Some of the top income planning mistakes that you should try to avoid as you prepare for retirement. Now, if you have not put together a formal financial plan or have a great guideline or guide to help you get to and through retirement, don't hesitate to reach out to Ryan and have a conversation. Where do you stand right now? How do you get from point A to point B for a safe landing? He's going to help walk you through that entire process. A couple of ways for you to get in touch. 843-475-3038 is the phone number. You can call or text that number and talk back and forth directly with Ryan, 843-475-3038. Or you can go online to retirepilots.com. Lots of great resources there for you on the website to check out, and you can engage with a couple of interactive things as well. We've got some video series. Of course, you can go to the YouTube channel, look up the Pilots Advisor. You can find all sorts of great videos, past podcasts, lots of great educational material for you. So however you want to interact or connect or ask follow-up questions, a couple of those ways that you can get in touch with Ryan. And whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcasting app, you can find all that contact info in the description of today's show. Ryan, great show. Welcome to your new digs. Great to see him. And I'll be looking forward to future episodes with you in the new house. This is fantastic.
Thanks so much, Walter, as always.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Pilot's Advisor.